Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2008 Home Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
We are the Brimhalls, and we live right here in Virginia Beach, and I want you to look out the window right now because our waves never look like this. Usually it's warm, it's sunny, and the waves are not as wild. So please, hopefully tomorrow things will settle down, you'll be able to get out on the sand and enjoy yourself. Mike, like Misty, introduced us. My name is Kari, and this is my husband, Vaughn. And we have homeschooled for only 4 years, officially homeschooled for 4 years at home. Our children, we have four children. Sarah is 16, Ishel's 15, JJ's 13, and Mimi is 9. And we have homeschooled from the beginning and never realized we could do that and bring them home. So we met at BYU, and both were public schooled from our beginnings. I graduated in education, and so I've been on both sides of the fence. I've been a parent, I've been a teacher, and I've been a student in the middle. So homeschooling, you would think, from an educator's point of view, oh, this should be a piece of cake, teaching school at home. Well, just to let you know, it has not, it's been a piece of crazy cake, if nothing else. We are very excited to be here and thrilled that you are embarking on a wonderful opportunity. And we hope that today we can kind of give you the big picture with homeschooling and be able to help you see a little bit. You're going to get hit with a lot of different things, a lot of different ideas, a lot of different names in homeschooling and things like that. So we're hoping to give you the big picture and see where it fits, where you fit in that big picture.
All right, we're going to start off with what we call the dream list. If you have the second page here, the first part of it says dream list. Are there people that don't have these? Anybody that doesn't have these in the back? All right, the dream list. It's pretty easy to understand. It says, if I had unlimited time, money, talent, and support from family and friends, I would, what? What would you do? Where would you go? Who would you see? What wonderful things in the world would you go see and do? What new skills or knowledge would you learn? What would you buy? What would you, who would you go meet with? What kind of people would you want to meet with and talk to? There's no limit here. Just start writing. Start filling this out. I'm going to give you a couple minutes. This is important. And don't hold anything back. If it pops in your head, write it down. That's the rule. There's no limits here. Unlimited time, money, talent, support, and support from family and friends. So really, there's nothing holding you back here. I guess other than your morals, maybe. Hopefully you'll keep those no matter what. My wife and I did this exercise years and years ago when our kids were really small. We were driving to a family reunion. I'm just going to talk while you guys are writing.
No
just
kids.
Keep writing. We didn't have any kids. Oh, yeah, we didn't have any kids yet. That's right. And we did this exercise in the car. It was a 10-hour drive down and a 10-hour drive back. So we were writing down all our hopes and dreams, you know, for our future. We'd only been married a little while, and it was exciting. It was fun. We had a good time. It was more of a laugh, to get a laugh, than anything serious. But we wrote them all down, and then we filed them away, and they got put in a box somewhere. And you know, most of the things we wrote on there, in the back of my mind, and I know my wife's mind too, we probably thought, you know, this will never happen. This is like impossible, but it's fun to at least write about it. It's neat to talk about
things like having a house or a car with air conditioning and automatic windows.
Things like that. And So years later, we found this. It was probably 9 years later, I think. 9 years later, we'd had all our kids by then, I think, most of them. And we started reading through this list that we'd written so long ago, you know, when we were young and naive. And we were absolutely amazed at how many things had come true already in our lives. And we checked them off. We put check marks by these. We went through
the car with air conditioning.
We had a car with air conditioning, yes. And we went through, we checked off, I think, 60% of those items. And there were a lot of items, but they had already happened in our life. And not that there's anything magical with writing it down on the dream list and that makes it all happen magically, but that planted a seed in our minds. And that gave us a vision, a goal. And maybe we might fall short of some of those goals, but look how close we would come. And if we hadn't even had that goal, we wouldn't even wanted to try for that. So this dream list is important. It's a dream list for you. Think about your family, too. What kind of wonderful things and experiences you'd want for your family, your children. Write that down in the dream list. Everything. And the more details, the better. You're not going to have a chance today to get into real nitty-gritty details, but the more detail, the better. If you can describe like your dream home down to the color of the brick and the color of the tiles in the kitchen, everything, the better. The more details, the more vivid, and the more senses you can bring into it, sight, smell, taste, all that. All right, that's the dream list.
I'm going to tell you a small story. We were driving from Provo, Utah, to Denver, Colorado, where my parents lived. And as we were driving, the blizzard came out of nowhere. And it was not just a light fall, it was a full-on blinding white blizzard. And as we were driving in my little Volkswagen Bug, the old ones, not the cute ones, that have no heat or air, as we were driving along, I remember thinking in my mind, we're going to have to pull over because we can't see anything, number one. And but that's a scary thought when you're in a car without heat. And we had blankets, but we puttered along until I saw some red taillights. And we knew that it was a semi in front of us, and how we thanked the Lord as we drove white-knuckled behind this semi. And in our minds, we thanked the Lord for those red taillights because I had something to follow. We traveled in silence because the radio didn't work, number one. And number two, secretly and silently, we were praying that we would be safe on our trip home. Driving through the Rocky Mountains can be treacherous in the winter. And as we traveled and as we drove, and we drove this way for probably 45 minutes to almost an hour. And as we were driving and praying and watching those two red taillights, every once in a while, a car would pass us. And not just us, but it passed the semi as well. In our minds.
And it was going really fast
For a snowstorm, because we were just putting along. And as these cars passed, we kept our eyes out along the road to look for wreckage. We knew these cars were going to swerve or miss, or, you know, here we are in a blizzard and this guy is just passing us. Well, had we known and had we been able to see what those other cars could see, we would have smiled. We would have laughed, perhaps. We still can't laugh now about it, but because as we started going up a hill, we started going up one of the mountain passes, we couldn't keep up. My little Volkswagen could not keep up with the semi. And at that point, we both knew we would have to pull over because there was no way we could drive without the lights of that semi. And as the lights got further and further away, we realized we're going to have to pull over soon. But after just a few seconds, we realized the blizzard was getting much better. In fact, it was hardly snowing. In fact, as the truck pulled farther and farther away, we realized there were 2 feet of snow on the top of that semi, and it was just, the semi was here, and we were here, and it was just snowing a blizzard on us as we traveled behind that semi. And as we watched in horror, as we saw that little blizzard just following the semi, we couldn't even look at each other at that point. And in shame, we had to think about all those cars that had passed us and had looked at us and laughed that we were driving in our own little blizzard and had no, we couldn't see the big picture. We had no clue. We were driving in a blizzard, and it was our own fault. Well, sometimes we feel like our life can be a personal blizzard, and sometimes we just need to step back and gain perspective. Hopefully today you will be able to see the big picture with homeschooling. There are 4 classes that are just meant, and had I wished they had this conference when we started, because there's lots of things to learn about as a new homeschooler and even as a seasoned homeschooler. And that's why it's so critical to come to the conference every year. We love it and look forward to it every year because we gain something and we learn different ways to meet the needs of our family. One of those things is called your 2020 vision.
All right. I work at a company called Steel Incorporated, and we make chainsaws. It's right down here in Virginia Beach. I work in their IS department, the computer department, and so I like spreadsheets a lot. So if you look at the first page at the very top where it says your 2020 vision, there's a little spreadsheet there, a little excerpt of the spreadsheet. This came out of a need for us when we started homeschooling. The desire to know, well, what's going to happen? How's it all going to turn out? What's the end game here? What are they going to go to college? Are they going to make it? Are they going to survive in the world? Are they going to get good jobs? You know, all these worries that homeschooling parents always have. I'll tell you right now, they never go away. At least maybe not till you send your first kid to college, and we're not there yet. But we needed to see the big picture. We needed to see the longer term. And so we came up with this spreadsheet. Now on the first column where it says name, I want you to write the names of your children. Now there's only 4 there, so some of you are going to have to improvise or add on. Or start with your oldest and work down. That's a good exercise. When you get home, you can make your own really big chart if you want. And then in the year 2008, I want you to write in their age this year, how old they are. And then you take that age out to the right. Clear out into the future. Just write it all out there. And you can see, you know, each child as they get older, what age they'll be in what year. And then what you do is you take big events in their life, like when they're 8, they get baptized. So I would color in that square blue for all the 8-year-old, you know, birthdays for all my kids. When they're 12, they start young men, young women. So that's a big rite of passage, right? You know, graduated from primary. So I'd write that in a different color. When they're 16, they can get their driver's license or learner's permit. Now that's a big deal, so you just color that in. Color in all these important events. We went all the way through to when they would start college, when our sons would go on missions, when our daughters might go on missions. I wanted to pick when they were going to get married, but my wife said that was a little much. So.
To draw the line somewhere.
That didn't go in the spreadsheet. Or when the grandkids were going to start showing up. But we put it all in there, and it was really neat to see, and it gave us a sense of comfort to know that this is generally how it's going to play out. It may not be exactly like that, but that's our goal. That's our plan long term. And we started to think about, well, what about our cousins? You know, our kids, they're right in the middle of this big pack of cousins on both sides of our family. So I started putting in all the cousins and adding it all in there. And it was really neat. We could see when a lot of these cousins are going to overlap in college. If they're at BYU together or something, they can get an apartment together. But or then when they're going to be serving missions at the same time. And it was very interesting to see how that changed the perspective of our children when they saw that chart. They could see what's expected of them and what's ahead for them, what they have to look forward to. And with all their cousins that are on there too, they're going to go through those same experiences. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. It helps you to identify patterns that you see. As you raise your children, you know that not every kid is the same, and each one takes unique skills and abilities to raise them in the way they need to be raised. But there are a lot of things that are the same. You know, they're all going to go to young men, young women's. They're all going to go to church with you on Sunday. They're all going to learn the gospel. There's a lot of commonalities that you can apply to each child as they go through these different stages in their lives. And by mapping it out, seeing the big picture, it helps you to understand that.
It also helps you see that your time with your children, on days that it's tough, you may think these kids are never going to leave home. But if you look at that chart, you realize that your time, that your stewardship over those children in your home is really for a small amount of time. It's not forever. And as our children are getting older and we're starting to see some of their friends go on missions or go to college, we're starting to realize this time period is as a immediate family that, you know, of course we'll always be together, but where they are in our home, where we have direct time with them and have an influence with them, that time is not as long as we think.
So it helped us to crystallize what we wanted our children to know and do and learn, experiences we wanted them to have before they left. Helped us establish family traditions that were important to us. And we realized with such a short time for them to learn these traditions, we needed to, you know, be on top of it and be diligent about it. Put those traditions into play and be forthright and diligent in keeping them up so that they understand that they're important to our family, that they're valuable, and that we hope it's something that they carry on into their families. If you look at the next chart down, it's called Step Up, Help Your Kids Visualize and Look Forward. This is an outgrowth of that spreadsheet, kind of a more detailed chart about year by year what each child is going to go through in our family, what we expect to happen. So a lot of these are very personal to our family. I encourage you to make up your own, fill it in, and these are only some of ours too. We didn't put all of them in here, but of course when they're 8, the baptism's a big thing to look forward to. And that's something that, as our kids have approached the age of 8, you know, we talk to them about it. We read the baptism book and talked about the importance. And it's something that they are excited about because they see it's coming up. They know that as they get older, that's something that's going to happen for them. They get their own set of scriptures when they're 8 in our house. We buy them a quad, the cheap kind, but it's still one. And it's their own. They get a little book bag and everything, and then they know they've arrived. I mean, now they have a set of scriptures just like their older brothers and sisters. It's the same size, so big, heavy ones, instead of just the little Book of Mormon that they carried before. And that's exciting for them. It's a big deal. It's a tradition in our family that we've done with all 4 of our children. You want to talk about something? There's we do piano in our house. All our kids take piano lessons. They start when they're 8. Of course, there's all the church programs, 11-year-old scouts, the activity days program, the young men, young women's program, the duty to God, personal progress. Those are all things we expect our children to do and participate in and to accomplish, and we detail them in our list. We put them in there so that they can see what's coming up, what they're going to be doing.
And this is helpful. We post this on the fridge. This is on the wall. And the kids, as they're, you know, hanging around the house, or they'll read that, and they look forward to what lies ahead. And the older ones will look down and say, oh, you're almost 12. That means you're going to be a beehive, or you're going to be a deacon. And it gives them something where the younger ones can actually visualize themselves. This is what lies ahead. This is what is going to happen for me. And you can make things, you know, what kind of things. One thing for our family was we wanted to take our kids on a trip. We wanted them to be able to go on just a special trip. First, it was going to be just dad and the child. And we thought age 16, all kinds of stuff starts happening. That's the beginning of group dating and their driver's license and all kinds of stuff. So we thought at 15, let's make it a special tradition to go on a special trip to a foreign country. My husband grew up for part of his life in Chile and learned Spanish. And as a family, we moved to Mexico, and we were there for almost a year because we wanted to have a foreign experience. We wanted our kids to live in a different country and to experience a different culture. So at 15, they get to go on a special trip with dad. And had we not thought of that a few years ago, financially, we would have never been able to plan for that. Financially, just even emotionally. And when that trip came up, out of the blue, we weren't expecting it to come as soon as it did. But Vaughn's parents called and said, this is probably the last time we're ever going to go down to Peru.
In Ecuador.
Do you want to come? Yes, we've been planning this. We just didn't know where we were planning. And so at that time, we were able to take both our daughters, but we had to leave the two little ones home. And we said, your turn will come when you're 15. Mm-hmm. Oh, 15. You know, that's to a 9-year-old, that's like another lifetime. So
I mean, we came home with hundreds of pictures, and the two younger ones got to see all the pictures and listen to the older sisters tell how wonderful it was and the great things they learned and the wonderful people they met and the kinds of food they ate. Just how what a great experience it was. So they're excited now, these two younger ones. They can't wait till they're 15 to go on their trip. And we're excited to take them, too. It's a family tradition that was important to us and we established with our kids.
But if we hadn't have planned for it, financially, we would have never... It was still a strain, but financially we would have not even been able to go. So that's really important to kind of decide. And if you look on your dream list page and your favorite five page, which is page 2 of the handout, take a look at some of your things on your dream list. What kind of things do you want to do? If you want your kids to know their grandparents, guess what? You should visit your grandparents, or they should come visit you. Whatever is on your dream list, this is where, and also on your favorite five, this is the little chart. Where's the one? That one. This chart right here, the step up, this is where you can start putting some of those things in. If one of your favorite books is Charlotte Webb, I love that book. Well, that's probably a good one to read when you're about 7 or 8. War and Peace, if that's one of your favorite books, it's not on my favorite book list, but...
Yeah, I like that.
I know. But if it's on your book list, that's probably something you're not going to read to the 8-year-old. But you can kind of even plan in, I want my kids to go to the redwoods. I want them to see those big trees. I want to hold hands around one of those big trees.
Better have lots of kids.
That's right. We had to take some friends to do that one. But start thinking now, when are we going to do that? Take the things that are on your favorite five, these things that are on your dream list, and start looking ahead and planning for those. Oh, maybe this would be a good year to do that. Maybe this year we could, you know. Anyway, start planning ahead. Those are the most important things. with your 2020 vision. And 2020, if you didn't get it, it's the year 2020. So how old will your kids be in the year 2020? All right. I think with all that said, it's time to get to the homeschool basics. Lucky for you, you've got some excellent speakers that will be after us that are going to go into detail on a lot of these. But these are just some basic things that you should know and that have really helped us. Number one, first thing you need to do is you need to pray and know if this is right for your family. Homeschooling was not right for our family till 4 years ago. Our kids were in public school. Most of them were just doing fine in public school. I was in the school. I was helping with the PTA. I was helping in the classroom. Those kind of things. For us, the time wasn't right until 4 years ago. And we moved to Virginia Beach. We couldn't find a house to live in. It was November, and the housing market was... You had to walk in with your money and say, I have money, can I buy your house? And they'd say, five other people just offered us the same thing. So we couldn't find a house. So we, through prayer and some good friends, we found a house, and it was on the beach. Oh, living on the beach in the winter months is different than when living on the summer months, I'm sure. But we had a great time, and for us, our windows were just like this. We looked out at the ocean every day. I couldn't keep my... We all just sat and watched the window for days and days. And it wasn't until we moved here and we had... All four of my kids had just started brand new schools 2 months before. And when we moved here, we knew living on the beach was a temporary thing. And we knew we were going to get into another house, and that would mean if we moved here, putting our kids in school, taking them out of school, moving to another house, and putting them into another school. We've done 2 schools in a year quite a few times because we've moved a lot, but this time it was like, you know what? I cannot put my kids on a school bus to drive to a school to learn about dolphins when I'm sitting here looking out at the fins in the water. So we knew at that time that we needed to pray about homeschooling, and the Lord had helped us and prepared a way for us that we had mentors. We had friends here in Virginia Beach. We had 8 families in our ward that homeschooled, and that was the help that we needed. Our Heavenly Father is a loving God, and He will prepare a way for you. But you need to know if it's right. You need to pray about it and have that confirmation, because there are days when you, as a mother, lock yourself in the bathroom and you're saying, Mom, what was I thinking? And it's that knowledge and that confirmation of the Holy Ghost that this is what the Lord wants you to do and this is the right time.
Just for all your husbands out there, that's the day when you cook dinner and take care of the kids and tell her it's going to be okay.
And there are those days when you think, get in the car, we're driving to the school. That's it, that's enough. So just to let you know, that's normal. But get back on your knees and pray. The next thing you need to do, number 2, is make it legal. You need to find out what it takes in your state to be a legal homeschooler. It's not hard. You get on Google and you just type in homeschooling and your state, and all kinds of things pop up. But make it legal. Go ahead and write that letter and send it in and do what you need to make it legal. Number 3, find a philosophy. And lucky for me, that's going to take a whole nother class, and I think Marty is teaching that one next. And she's going to talk about it's not one way to do homeschooling. There are this many, and there is polar ends of the homeschooling philosophy. So acquaint yourself with these different philosophies and start to understand them and find out what you're comfortable with. Find out that there is more than schooling at home. And my background in education, I brought all that home. Guess what? Here's the papers. We're doing school. And the kids were like, we just want to look out the window, you know? No. And so you need, as a parent, you need to do some research and find out about these different philosophies and find one that works for you and works for your family.
And I'll add that it'll take a while. You'll read a book, you'll listen to somebody, see them, how they homeschool, and say, that's it, that's what I want to do. You'll start doing that at your house and say, you know, this really isn't working out the way I envision it. It doesn't work like for me like it does for that other family. I don't know why. And you'll find a new one, like, oh, forget that, we'll try this one now. And your kid's going to go through philosophy confusion here, but it's all fine. You need to find out what works for you, and it might be a part of this, part of that, and part of this, and something you make up on your own that you add in there that's just right for your family, and that's fine. Don't feel that you have to be locked into one certain brand of homeschooling. It should be your brand.
All right, number four is visualize your school. You need to be able to see what you want your school to look like. The best way to do this is find a mentor, find a group, go to their house and look around. How do you do that? How do you keep track of 400 pencils and crayons and markers and a dozen pair of scissors? How do you keep that under control? So you need to be able to visualize and see. A lot of us have this vision. Oh, these are the homeschool children. They all play musical instruments. They're all these stair-step children. And yes, they make up the orchestra. You know, we don't have that. Sorry. You know, we struggle with piano. You need to kind of break the mold that my homeschool children will be geniuses. They will study and love to, you know. No, you're raising normal children, and we're shooting for nice, good, strong members of the church. The Einstein thing, if that happens, then so be it. But make your reality, try to envision what homeschooling really is, and find someone that you can talk to. Find someone who's close by that you can lean on or ask and talk to. Another one, number five, is map it out. These are systems and routines. We've moved twice this year, and we have had all kinds of transitions. My parents have moved in. We're adding an addition. We both have callings that keep us on the run. Your life, once you decide to pull out of school or start homeschooling, your life can get a little hectic. Because most of our lives are hectic without taking the responsibility of, I will school my own children. Okay? It's not enough to bring them home from school. It's not enough. I thought it was. Isn't that enough? They're home. They're in a good environment. We're reading. Isn't that enough? It's not enough. Okay? Think about the philosophies. Think about, and you'll hear more about that. But there are systems in your home, there's routines that if they are in order, it will make your homeschooling that much better. If they're not in order, you're going to be pulling your hair out. Things like meals. How many meals a day do you eat? Who does the shopping? Do you make a menu? Things like laundry. If you can keep up on those two things alone, and chores and just cleaning your house, if you can keep up on those three things alone, a lot of the other stuff can slide. But if you need a system on when do we wash clothes, that needs to be in place. Not before you start, but pretty soon after, because homeschooling can take over. And, oh, you start having so much fun with your kids and doing things and being excited about things that your laundry gets up to here, and you're like, we have no clean clothes. You know, today we're wearing towels and doing laundry. You know, get your swimsuits on because it's time to do laundry. So you need to have those things in order. All right, number six, how do you do it? All right, quickly, this is my favorite thing that I think I have ever created, and it's called Do Your Dots. In our house, and this came after time, this little piece of paper, each child in our family until you get kind of on your own. I have a daughter who's 16. She doesn't have one anymore. It's a little piece of paper like this. This year it's on 3x5 cards. Other years it's been hand-drawn. It's whatever. When my oldest child was going to public school, I made her a list. These are the things that need to be done before you go to school. And there was like 10 things on that list. They were very simple. Make your bed. Put on your shoes. Brush your hair. But there were 10 of them. 10 is too many. Because she would look at that list and go, I will never get to school. You know, look how big that list is. This is what we invented. It's called Do Your Dots. And I take those little glass decorative things they put in vases with flowers, little marbles that are kind of melted. Anyway, we put one of those on each one of these. These are four things I want my daughter Mimi to do before we start school. At our house, school starts at 9 a.m. We sit down at the table, and this is how it works. She has four things. That's all she has to do. I expect her to get dressed. I expect her to go to the bathroom. I expect her, you know, there's certain things that I just expect. Put your pajamas away. Put your pillow on your bed. Things like that. But this is all she's responsible for Do Your Dots. She has to do her job every day. If she does not do her job by 9 a.m., she doesn't get paid. This is her job. This is her paid money job. Okay? If you don't do your job at work, you don't get paid. You don't go to work, you don't get paid. If you don't do your job by 9, guess what? You do not get paid. Okay? Does that mean, woohoo, I don't care. I don't need money. No, she has to do her job before she gets to eat lunch. Okay? This has to be done every day. And each of our kids has something. One unloads the dishwasher. One would sweep and mop the floor. Depending, different rooms every day. Another one takes out the garbage. It's every day. It's their job every day. And they choose whether they want to earn that money or not. Brush your teeth, hair, piano, and then over here. And so I put a little glass, little bead on each one of those. And I have a little jar where I put all the little papers out, and they put little these little beads on them. And I have this little glass jar. Well, as soon as Mimi does brush her hair, she takes that bead and she drops it in this glass jar. Now, the glass jar is not huge. We can actually fill that thing up in about a week and a half if everybody does their job. She drops it in there and it makes noise. And my mom, she said, hey, that sounds like a piggy bank. It sounds like money. It does. Those glass beads dropped on glass, you can hear that all around the house. And you'll hear things like, way to go, good job, woohoo, you know, around the house. When they hear that chink go in that jar, I don't keep track. This is the honor system. Everyone does their own. But as they do this and they drop their little beads in, as we fill this up and everybody does their jobs, it fills up. And at the end, we take it out and we get to have a party or we get to go. I don't make it a huge thing, but we'll go out for an ice cream cone or maybe we'll buy our favorite candy bars at the store. So it's not it's not a trip to Disney World. It's small because then you just have to keep doing bigger. If they do not finish these four things, if they do finish the four things, they're four dots, then they get to play electronics. At our house, you can play electronics. That's computer, that's Game Boy, GameCube. We don't watch a whole lot of TV, so they can have those three choices. That's what they earn for doing these things. If they don't finish their dots, guess what? They don't get this. They don't get electronics. They only get electronics from 4 o'clock till Dad comes home, and that's around 5. But they love that. They work for that. This has been the best thing I think we've ever done. So here it is. Free of charge, it's yours. It gives the kids an idea what you expect. And you as a mother don't have to look at that child and go, did you brush your teeth, brush your hair? Did you go to the bathroom? Did you say, did you do your dots? No, get moving.
It makes it easy for dad, too, because you can pop in when they're halfway through this process. You can see right away where they're at, what needs to be done, and where they need help or a kick in the rear end, whatever it is. Just it's an easy way to be unified as parents, to show your children what needs to happen every day. It's been a great help to us, to our family.
And it's a very simple thing. At 9 o'clock, I put everything away, and I just put it right there by the phone, and we pull it out the next day. So that's a great one. Next on the line, Father's Blessing and the Lord's Curriculum. We're going to go quick so we can take questions. Father's Blessing, we do that every year. We did it when our kids were in public school. We do it now as well. And I try to take notes because I need to know what the Lord wants for that child this year. And I write down those things, and I try to take that into consideration. What does this child need? And the Lord blesses that with us. The next is the Lord's curriculum. If you want a curriculum that is stamped by the Lord, you have it in the church. It's called the Faith in God program in primary. It's called the Personal Progress program in young women's. It's called the Duty to God. It's called the Scouting program. Each one of those programs in the church that has been approved all the way up from the First Presidency, if you can incorporate those programs and make those programs, including Family Home Evening and also the church magazines, that is the Lord's curriculum. That's what He wants for His people right now. And it comes at a small price of going to church. It's great. We try to bring those things in with our scripture study. We try to bring those things in and talk about them with that. The next thing is talk at the table. One of our favorite things is we sit down for dinner every single night as a family. And that is something early on I decided I would cook because I'm a better cook.
This is true.
And but we like to talk at the dinner table. Sometimes our conversation is reruns of SpongeBob or...
We can quote you quite a bit of SpongeBob.
That's right. And so we've started pulling out games. We love board games. Some of us love board games and have a closet full. And I've started just pulling out all those card games, not the card games like this, but all the trivia games, all the U.S. history games. We just have them on the table.
We just read them during dinner. You know, one person reads them, and people try and answer them. It's funny, and it's fun.
And it keeps the conversation rolling. And sometimes when you're doing those trivia or, what's the one we love?
I don't know.
Can't remember.
Sometimes I'll bring home riddles. Like, there's websites you can get riddle a day emailed to you. So I'll print it out and bring it home and try and stump them. And they got pretty good. They could start figuring them out before I'd even get to the end.
Right. So. And we sometimes pass out paper, and I have a little cup of pencils. And tonight, everyone, we were studying Paris. We were studying France. And I had a little cup of paper, and we put a paper on every plate. Before you eat anything, get a pencil, and everyone has to write down one fact they know about France or the French people. And we are constantly, oh, great, let's read those, or let's stack them up on the wall. All right, next thing.
We talked about allowance.
Allowance is based on their jobs. We try to teach our kids financial principles at an early age. And if you look right above on the step up, at age 16, we want our kids to have a checking account. Their savings account is open at birth. And we do allowance on Mondays, and we pay for the last week. And we have a chart to keep track of whose job.
Paying our children gives them a chance to pay tithing, to put tithing to the side. They have a separate envelope for that. They have another envelope for savings. They're required to put 50% of what they make into savings, and then they can spend the rest.
And you say 50% in savings? Yes, 50%. They need to start learning early to start saving. And that habit starts at a young age. And so that's allowance is really important if you want your kids to know money, know about money, and know how to use money. The next thing is hang a map. If you can get a map of the world or the map of the United States, as beautiful as it is, and the lovely kitchen that you have, stick it right there. We've had maps all over the house, but the place that the kids look at the most is at the dinner table. We just have it right there on the wall, and someday our kids will grow up and we'll have regular walls. There won't be maps. And if all our kids are geography majors, then we'll know why. But hang a map, and then we have all kinds of things. We do things with maps. We have little stickies, and we will write things like, okay, where are all the places that we have lived? Okay? Or where are all the places we have visited? One summer alone, we went to 27 different states, and we don't even own a motorhome. That was a moving year, and it was nutty. But we wrote them all down. We have all the different temples that we have visited. Vaughn is the oldest of 9 children, and they're almost all married, and not one got married in the same temple. So we've had to travel all over. So I got on the computer and made little pictures, and we stuck those all over. Where are the pictures? So every temple we go to, stand there, we've got to get a picture, you know. Our kids just know to stand in line, you know. And so we have all these pictures of all the different temples. My parents' 50th anniversary is this summer, and I said, Dad, where have you been in the world? And he's been in like 13 different countries. I didn't even know that. So, okay, my time is up. So on the last, there's two more things I need to tell you about. First of all, get yourself a whiteboard. You can buy shower board at Home Depot.
4x8 sheet.
It's huge. Have them cut it
it's
in
like
half.
$10.
$10. Get some markers. Your kids have ideas that are this big, and you bring home a whiteboard, woo, they'll decorate it. Okay. Next, on the second page, it says homeschool perks. The Pizza Hut Book It Club, if your child is in elementary age school, if you go to their website, you can sign up as a homeschooler and your kids can earn free pizza every month. Bookstore discount, take your letter of homeschooling from the state, take it to Barnes & Noble and get yourself a homeschooling discount card, 20% off books, things that you use for school, and who doesn't use everything for school? Same thing with most bookstores. Also, some of my favorite websites are on the bottom, and those are just some great places to start. Homeschooling is fun. It can be very frustrating. It can be those first stages when you're learning how to homeschool, when you're learning about what homeschool is, you feel like the train when it's just starting and it's not quite there. It's not chugging along yet. It's still trying to get started. Those can be frustrating times. So do your homework now. Read up and find out about different things and find out what works for your family. We have had just a delight most of the time homeschooling, and we are thankful that we live in a country where we can homeschool and that we have conferences where we can just reach out and say, oh, what do you do? What works for you? Before our class is over, I would suggest and highly recommend that you turn to the person next to you or the person behind you or in front of you. Introduce yourself, because we're going to be here together for the next 2 or 3 days, and get to know them, and don't walk away from here without somebody's phone number. If you need to call and say, what do you do? Sit down and meet someone this conference and be able to take and learn from them. Last words?
That's it. I think we'll take questions now, if anybody has any questions. I know you feel like you just got shot with a machine gun.
Oh, I did not. Classic cards. In our house, we have little cards like this, and we just found a classic book list, and we made our own. And my daughter just made little cards, and we just have them on a ring. Little cards, and it has the title, the Little Red Riding Hood. We have a whole thing with fairy tales, and I just keep them on a ring. And it's when they read that, when they're real little, then they get to draw a picture, or they write
their initials on it.
They write something. This much about it. I like this story. And as the kids get older, we try to, it's just kind of a way to keep track of what they've read, which is good. Is there another? Do your homework first. Talk to, it can be very expensive.
We borrowed a lot of stuff too. Mm-hmm. And we made friends with a lot of homeschoolers who had already moved past certain ages, and they gave us their books to use. We tried them out for a while, decided it's not what we wanted. Gave them back.
Are any of these things available in libraries?
There's. Mm-hmm. We buy everything used, too, online. I mean,
yeah, you can buy a lot of things, or thrift stores. But talk to other people, and Marty's going to go over all the different philosophies. Talk to someone who's using that program and see what their family like your family? Do you have similar things? And yeah, try not to jump in. There's curriculums that you can buy that tell you day by day what to do. And there is a time and a place for those. And if that's how it works for you, it has to work for you as a parent as well as for your child. And that's part of it. But find someone who is using that.
When you're looking at philosophies and you ask somebody about how their homeschool philosophy, ask them what they like about it and ask them what they don't like about it. Because not everyone's perfect. There's drawbacks for every single one. And they'll come right out and tell you, you know, this is the one thing I don't like about it. And so I don't know how to get around it. It's just the way it is.
Is there some way to get?
Yes, there are. I know here in Virginia Beach, there's a store that will buy used curriculum. Sometimes used bookstores. Yes. There's a way to pass those on, or even just sell them on eBay.
Someone said there's actually plastic sheets that you can get, like when you're, you know, for start, and then you can actually do the assignment on the plastic sheet and then erase it, so that you can keep the book, you know, or sell it, and it's, like, you know, kind of unused. Not that you'd return it; it's not like, you know, but just so that you can kind of work the book, you know, it just saves your books, plus to be able to pass down to other kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So. Any question?
Oh, I was just going to comment. In our area, we have a Yahoo group for our area where we have a used curriculum sale every year, and we all just like a yard sale. Everybody brings their stuff.
That's great.
Swap around, and so just keep an eye out for stuff in your area.
Right. Any other questions? Fears, comments. All right. Yes. Our oldest was 12. She was in middle school, and that's when we moved here and took them out. We give our kids the choice once they get to high school age, and we give them the choice if they want to go back or not. Our oldest said, no, I don't want to go back. I'm focused on this is what I want to do, and this is what I'm studying. This is what I like. Our second daughter, who is a very social learner, needs, she does very well.
I think she wanted to be a cheerleader.
And the movie High School Musical came out that summer. Anyway, she chose to go back. We had her pray about it. We had to.
And it's been good for her. She's been doing great. We still homeschool her when she's at home. I mean, she still gets a good dose of homeschooling in the evenings when she's at home. But.
And that's been, it's been great for her. She has really jumped into, you know, sports and her classes. She's doing very well. But it had to be a very personal thing. It was hard for me to let her go back. And that's been tricky. But it was good. We prayed about it, and we knew that she was different. She needed that. Now, the younger ones coming up, you know, they see both those examples. And we'll see what the Lord has plans for them. And our daughter who's in school, she has been a fabulous missionary. And it makes me really stop and think. You know, I think she's made some promises to some very good friends that are in school that have come into our home and have never been in a home where there's love and, you know, kindness spoken there. So I think our time is up, but we want you to know that how thankful we are for a loving Heavenly Father that prepared a way for us to come to this part, to come to homeschooling, and what a treat it's been for our family to really bind us together. Cute friend and my mentor who is at this conference from way out of town, but she said, if you can't stand to be around your family now, that's bad because you're going to be with them forever. And if you can learn to love and be with your family now, it is a treat and a blessing for your family now and hopefully into the eternities. And we'd like to say this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.